So a couple of years ago, my family went to a pumpkin patch. And we got there. We started to enjoy our time. The kids particularly were enjoying the what should be a sandbox, but since we were in Iowa, was a corn box. And they were digging and playing and moving corn all around, and we would bury a kid, and then they would come out of the corn, and it was a lot of fun. But prior to going there, we had been on a trip, and we had ended up at Niagara Falls. And at Niagara Falls, the kids had bought some trinkets that said their name and Niagara Falls on it, right? I mean, that's what you do. You buy things that have your name on it. No place has ever had Brock. I have looked everywhere I've been. I have never been able to purchase one anywhere, but our kids all did. They all found their names on stuff, or at least the boys did. And one of them, I won't tell you which, but it was the younger one, he had borrowed his brother's headphones, which had his name on them, and a picture of Niagara Falls, and he had put them in his pocket, and they had gone into the corn box, and they were playing, and then about 20 minutes later, he pulled them out of his pocket, and they weren't there. So what do? We look for the headphones. I spent 30 minutes digging through the corn for a guy who has dust allergies, not loving life, but digging and digging. I would take all the corn I could from one area, move it to another, didn't find it. So then I had to take all the corn I moved to that area, move it back to where it was, and then move all the rest of the corn that was there to a new area to still not find it. For 30 minutes, we moved and dug and moved and dug and moved and dug, and finally it was like, buddy, they're lost. Turns out they were in the van. They never made it to the corn box. So we found them later. But that was quite a day. Those headphones, though we were wrong, they weren't actually lost in the corn. For all we could tell, they were totally, completely hidden under the corn. Our passage this morning talks about being hidden. And I'm not sure we always pay much attention to it. Colossians chapter 3. We went through Colossians not that long ago. We talked about this passage. We talked about a different aspect of it, but we're going to focus on verse 3. Chapter 3, verse 3 of Colossians. It says this: "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." That's our entire passage for the morning. You have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. We look at this passage. We think about this passage, and we jump to what should be the most important word, the key word in this, and we say it is hidden. Because we need to figure out what it means to be hidden in Christ, like the headphones were hidden in the corn. Except, if we don't understand what is to be hidden, we almost guaranteed cannot understand the passage right. So Paul writes, your life is to be hidden in Christ. What does that mean? What is your life? There's two particular ways to look at life. We can look at it sort of existentially or eternally. We can look at our spiritual existence that will go on forever, an eternal perspective on what life is. Or we can look at a more practical, earthly, temporal life, the here and now, the physical component. So we can look at our life in terms of the temporal, the time period of life that we are on earth, or we can look at it in terms of the eternal, our life in eternity with God. For the beginning of this anyway, let's think about our life here. the temporal, the temporal, the earthly component of life. And let's ask a question. Who are you? Each one of you, as an individual, if somebody were to come up to you and say, "Who are you?" What would you say? You could give a lot of different answers to that question. I'm Brock. I'm a pastor. I'm a dad. I'm a husband. I'm a golfer. I'm a sports player. I'm a fine dresser. I could give you all sorts of things of what I am. And whatever that is, we're not going to get into the good or bad components of that, but whatever comes to mind for you or for me when somebody were to say, "Who are you?" becomes your image. The image that you have in your mind of who you are, your distinctiveness, the things that God placed in you to make you different than me and to make you different than everybody else. There's a good component to that, that sort of individualistic component, because God made you to be you, not you to be somebody else. Now, he has made you to look like Christ, but that's different. He has not made you to look like your brother. He has not made you to look like your friend. He has not made you to look like your sister, your aunt, your uncle, your mother, your father, your kids. Too much of our time is spent trying to look like and be like somebody else, to emulate their personality, their humor, the way that they dress, the way that they talk. Too much of our time is spent trying to be like somebody else and not accepting that God made us to be us. He put his image on you and made you distinct so that you could be exactly distinct. That's the life that we are talking about here. Your life in eternity cannot help, if you are a believer in Christ, it cannot help but to be hidden with Christ in God. Because that's all you will have. But now, the things that make you distinct, the things that make me distinct, those very things that God made and put in me are supposed to somehow, some way, be hidden in him. Not to take away or strip my distinctiveness, but to bury who I am deep inside who he is. So that when I see me, I see Jesus. When you see me, you see Christ. It's already true as a believer in Christ that when God sees me, he sees Christ. But too often we don't believe it. We hear it. We claim to know it. We think about it, but when it comes right down to it, we don't really, really believe that God sees us by seeing Jesus. We don't really, really believe that we're that forgiven, that made right, that reconciled. We see our own failures. We see our own mess ups. We see our own sins. And we say, in effect, God couldn't love me. I'm too broken. God couldn't love me. I'm too selfish. That's what we say. But we say it because we don't understand that who we are, our very image, this life that we have that is encapsulated by our picture of what our image of ourselves is. Not in some psychological, self-help, feel-good-about-yourself sort of way, but a true, real look at who is this person that is me. That image of who I am, that reality of who I am, is to be according to Paul, hidden in Christ. I've never heard a whole lot of long treatises on this topic or this thought. Perhaps you have. I just haven't. But every time I've interacted with people on this, every time I've heard somebody talk about it, this image of being hidden with Christ is not so much hidden as it is accompanied by. And that becomes part of our problem. Because what we tend to interact with reality like is that Jesus says that your life is to go alongside his, or his life will go alongside yours, but that's not what he says. Now, just imagine, obviously the headphones were not really lost in the corn, but let's imagine they were. Let's imagine they were under the corn somewhere in a 12 by 12 box that's about 20 inches deep. Somewhere in there is the headphones. Can you tell? No. You can't tell the headphones are there. And in that sort of sense of a total lost in its surroundings is what we're called to be in Christ. That's why Paul says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain, in Philippians 1:21. See, he says, for me, if I'm alive, it's all Christ. If I die, it's better for me by far, he says, and I wish I could just go ahead and die and be with Jesus, but that's not what he has for me. So, to live is Christ. To live is to be all about, only enwrapped in, Jesus Christ. That's what we're called to. Not a life that says, Jesus is alongside me. Not a life that says, we're sort of going through this together, and together we can get it all figured out. Not a life that says, well, you know, I try to look like Jesus. Friends, this is a life that has lost itself in him. It's kind of funny. Because when we say that our lives should be lost in Jesus, our heads sort of implode a little bit and we say, what in the world does that mean? How can a life be lost in something like that? However, yesterday there were these things that went on with sort of an oblong shaped ball that gets kicked and thrown and run. This afternoon there will be more of it. Only on a professional level. I know a lot of people, some of whom sit in this room, whose lives get lost in that sport. I don't mean in a bad way. I'm not insulting anybody in this moment. At other moments, I insult people. But right now, I'm not insulting anybody. Our lives get totally lost in something bigger than us. Yet we wonder, how can my life be lost in Jesus? As though he weren't bigger than football. As though he weren't immensely more valuable than sports or jobs. Which is why when we come back to that very first question, who are you? Our answer becomes really important. Because while there's individuality intentionally built into each one of us, that individuality is supposed to be put together in Christ so that I become me, but I become lost in Jesus. So everything that I have, all of my passions, all of my gifts, all of my abilities, all of my desires, all of my energy, all of my time, all of everything that I am, should become lost in what Jesus is doing. I'm not a pastor. I'm a follower of Jesus who pastors a group of people. I'm not a golfer. I'm a follower of Jesus who shows him, hopefully, while playing golf. Some of you are runners. Some of you are computer people. Some of you have different jobs, different abilities, different gifts. We have all sorts of different things in this room that we could say is who we are. That's not to be who we are. We're to lose. Oh, see, I am that thing, and we are to be hidden, and I am Christ's. And when we really get that, when we really, truly, actually get that we are Jesus Christ's possession, that we are lost in him and in nothing else, then we can be content in all circumstances, good, bad, or otherwise. Why? Because it's not about us in our circumstances. It's not about us in the ease or difficulty of our lives. When we understand that we're lost in Christ, then we could say, come what may, I'm thankful. Come what may, it's all for God's glory, for Christ's purpose. We can walk with confidence on this earth, knowing, not hoping, but knowing that we are simply men and women walking around following Jesus. So if we get rich, great. If we die poor, great. If we're healthy, great. If our health, when our health decays, great. Why? Because it's never been about us. But when we see this, we ignore that it's not about us. And friends, we act. At times I act like it's really more about me than it ever was intended to be. So I get discouraged when it doesn't go my way. Or I get elated when it does go my way. My dad made us read a book on contentment here recently. And one of the things that the book said on contentment was that it was self-sufficient. And that really was an interesting thought as we were wrestling through it, that our contentment is intended to be self-sufficient, because as we lose ourselves in who Christ is, this isn't exactly what the book said, but this is what I'm saying, as we lose ourselves in who Christ is, we need nothing else to be content. We could gain the world or lose the world. Either way, we have Christ and we are lost in him. I know you all enough to know that's what we want. We want our lives lost in Jesus, to be hidden in him, not sort of along with him, but protected by, enwrapped by, fully immersed in him. That's what we want. I also know us enough to know that sometimes that's not what we want. To know that we want to acquire here on earth. We want to acquire money, possessions, power, fame, all sorts of things that are absolutely worthless when it comes right down to it. But they make us feel good. And we chase those. We hope that by acquiring a little bit more of them, we'll feel good. Hoping that by acquiring a little bit more, we'll feel fulfilled. We'll get a little more. We'll have a little more. But it's not going to do it. Because our lives are to be lost in this idea, this person who is Jesus. And when we're lost in Jesus, then what more do we need? That is not a fun pill to swallow. And truth be told, when I started working on the sermon, when my mind started to cycle on what would God have us do once I realized Advent didn't start till next week, so I had one more week in there that I didn't know was needing to get filled, what would God have us think about, talk about, wrestle with? My mind actually initially went to, you should feel good about your image in Christ, because you don't see you. You see Jesus. God doesn't see you. He sees Christ. So you can't fail. And that's true. It is true that your image so lost in him, God sees Jesus when he sees you, the perfection of Christ himself when he looks at you or me or any other believer. And that should be an immense encouragement to us. Yet it is true that we need to understand that our life gets lost in that moment. We don't get the opportunity to have God look at us and see Jesus and then have us go and run and chase our own things. We lose ourselves in Jesus. We no longer get to chase what we want. We no longer get to run after what pleases us. It's not about us getting that. And we struggle with that from about the time we're born till about the time we die. It's going to be there. You will deal with it, with the wanting something more, wishing you had less of something that's hurtful, discomforting. But we're lost in this moment. Our individuality stays, and God uses that. But we don't need to try to make a big splash to make people know who we are. We don't have to try to make a big scene for people to see us. Because our goal must be, friends, to have Christ seen when God sees us, to have Christ seen when other people see us, to have us see Christ when we see ourselves. Because you've died. You, your life has died. And your life, you, are now hidden with Christ in God. It's not about you. It's not about what you want, what you can have. It's about Jesus. If then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth. For you have died. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. You have eternity guaranteed with him. What's required of you now, though, is to recognize that you have died and you are hidden in him. He's not somehow hidden inside you. You are hidden in him, wrapped up in who he is. You should be comforted by that fact. I should be comforted knowing that I am lost in who he is, so none of my failures ever come out. They don't mess anything up. They might be seen, but they don't mess anything up. None of my shortcomings ruin his plan. I'm his. Lost in who he is. And if you've put your faith in Jesus, only if you've put your faith in Jesus, then you too are lost in who he is. And friends, when we get lost in who Christ is, then our bickering stops. Our irritations with people stop. Our unwillingness to be the followers that we should be, to submit to those people in authority over us, stops. Our desire to lord over our authority over other people stops. All of these struggles, all of these issues that we have in our lives, they go away. That doesn't make your life easy. You may die dead broke. You may die in a hard circumstance. But you've made it not about you, which is why Paul, while writing from prison, is content, because it's not about him. It's about Jesus. He's lost. Christ is the only thing left. The contentment and the pleasure that should bring to us is immense. So let's not forget it when we leave here. Let's not forget that we have Jesus and that's all we need. Let's not forget that we should give up who we are to follow him and make the rest of our week not about getting what it is that we want, but about following him, knowing him, being like him. That's what we're called to. A life lost in Jesus. Where it's gone, and he's the only thing left. Let's pray. God, we come to you this morning. Knowing, Lord, that we're men and women who are in desperate need of you. Knowing that we need you to help us have our lives hidden in you. God, where we fail at this, show us grace. Where we don't follow you well, put men and women around us who help us grow. If we, Lord, don't have our faith firmly put in you, show us, teach us, guide us. Glorify yourself in our lives, please, Lord. And it is in your amazing and holy name we pray. Amen.